Well, next Sunday is, we already talked about a little bit, is what we call Celebrate the Church Sunday. And it is a time where we really celebrate you as a church body, each one of you. Whether you've been here for many years or whether maybe this is your first Sunday, I don't know. We want to celebrate you for how God brings us together. We're grateful for each one of you. And so we'll have a few things going on. Doris is putting together a slideshow, which she often does, of this past year, of pictures of things that have happened this past year in our congregation. Last year we had a puzzle, I think, for you to put together as just kind of symbolizing us putting our piece of the puzzle together as one unit. And so I think we'll have a new puzzle this year for you to help. For those of you who like putting puzzles together, you can help come up and put your piece in to just symbolize I'm a part of this body of believers. I think we're going to do a group picture again, which we've done here and there. So Jeff has agreed to do that. We'll get up here and we'll just get a picture of you all out there. We'll bring in some new members next Sunday, as well as give our existing members an opportunity to renew your membership. And of course, we can't forget the potluck meal together. Important thing. So invite you to bring something if you would like to share with us, and we'll have a little Q&A meeting after that meal just for any questions about the church, things that are going on. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk a little bit about the budget. Although our treasurer just had a baby last night, and so I don't know if she's got that budget ready or not, but we're going to give her grace on that. Congratulations to Joe and Tasha. I think it's Ruth is their little girl that was born actually yesterday morning, I think, early yesterday morning. And then you'll have opportunity to volunteer for various things, too, that you might be called to that you feel like you could help out with. So kind of in light of that, and the fact that we are in a new year, if you hadn't noticed, this is a new year, and it's actually not just a new year, but it's a new decade. And so it's a good time to reflect on what we're about. Now, maybe you've been thinking about that individually as a person. What am I about? What is my life about? What do I want to accomplish? What goals do I want to carry out? And in some sense, it's good as a congregation to just reflect on who we are. Why are we here? What are we about as a church? What's important to us? What do we hope happens here? And so, once again, whether you've been here for some time or whether you're fairly new and trying to figure out if this is a place you want to plug in, we all have good reasons to be a part. Now, you may remember this past year, our elders team was kind of going over this question, what is on your heart for LCF? And so we spent some time with this, just thinking as an elders team, what's on our heart for this congregation, and talking about that together. And so I'm curious how you would answer that question. If you think of the church, and we're thinking about this church here, this local body, what is on your heart for the church? What do you think the church is about? What's important to you about this congregation, our congregation? What do you think is important to God for us? And so this Sunday and next Sunday, I want to share some of those things that we've been talking about as an elders team, and I want to invite you to think about it as well for yourself. And I'd love to hear what is on your heart for the church as well. But I want to share some of the things that we've been talking about as an elders team. The first thing that came out really in our discussion is, and I borrowed this from the song that Jesse led this morning, Jesus at the Center. This is one of the things that we talked about as an elders team. Now, maybe you think this is too basic or fundamental even to discuss, like, oh yeah, we know that. But I think it's really important that we think about it and keep Jesus as the focal point of our ministry here at LCF. We are not about nice self-help, quote, TED Talks, or whatever you might want to call those. We're not about politics, not about social issues, although obviously our faith can affect those and will affect those. We're not even about religion. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. In John 14, 6, Jesus, answering Thomas here, says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so we're here in a real simple way to point you to Jesus. We believe that in Him you will truly find the way, that in Him you will find the truth, that in Him you will find real life. It's what we believe. Religion is not going to help you. In fact, I think it's only going to give you a false sense that somehow you've got things figured out and maybe produce an arrogance towards all those other people who don't have it figured out. It's not going to help you. None of us really has anything figured out. We need Jesus. And so in all we do at this church, we hope to point you towards a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. Everything flows out of that relationship. And without Jesus at the center, all we have really is a religious exercise that, in a sense, is pretty empty. Statistics say that the younger generation is leaving the church in droves. And I can't say all the reasons why, but from my experience, one of the reasons for this, I believe, is that young people are looking for a faith that is real. A faith that can transform them. A faith that can transform the world around them. And I think probably what they see a lot of time in the church is really a societal, a political, a religious exercise in piety that lacks any real transformational power. So what our young people need, what everyone needs, is a real encounter with Jesus, the Savior of the world. And so we are simply here to call people to believe in Him. The Son of God who humbled Himself, taking on flesh like you and I, tempted in every way, yet living a sinless life, loving us so much to die in our place, so that all of us who believe might have life to the full, a truly transformed life. We've got no other answers here, no other wisdom, no other expertise, no other plan, just Jesus. And so even today, I want to call you to place your complete faith and trust and hope in Him, to believe in Him. Reuben talked about this a couple Sundays ago in his message on December 29th. Check it out if you missed it. It's a powerful message about looking into this new year and believing that change can happen, that we can change because of the power of the Holy Spirit in us, because of what Jesus has done. Because of Jesus, we who believe are declared new creations. We can change through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can be better husbands and wives. We can be better fathers and mothers. We can turn in a new direction. We can set a new path for this year. And we can be all things through Christ, no matter how difficult things might seem. Jesus at the center. Everything comes out of a relationship with Him. And so that is one of the primary things that we as an elders team, we want to keep that central. The second thing that I want to talk about, and this isn't in any particular order, but this emerged in our discussion as well, and it's something that I have termed true discipleship. We hope that we are always pointing people to become true disciples of Christ, to truly follow Him and not follow some other thing, some other person, whatever it might be, but to follow Him. When we come to Him, we declare Him Lord over our lives. And Jesus tells us that we simply cannot be His disciple unless we surrender everything to Him. We believe that He is King over all, and that His kingdom rules and has precedent over all other kingdoms. And so, as a body of believers, we are going to continually point you to follow Jesus over all other allegiances. That's why I use the word true discipleship, because I believe there's a version of church that is being led by largely political or social or religious agendas. And that's not what we want to be about here. We want to be about following Jesus. We want Him to be King over all. Anything that does not represent and encourage the fruit of the Spirit is simply not of God. It's not about Jesus, it's not discipleship, and we shouldn't confuse it for ourselves or for anyone else. We want to mature in our faith, and we want you to mature in your faith. We can't do it for each other. I can't do it for you, you can't do it for me. But we want to give you every opportunity to grow in your knowledge and understanding of Christ and His Word. Colossians 1:28 says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." And that is what we hope to do. We hope to present people mature in Christ. Obviously, we only have a small part of that. Each of us has to be willing to mature and grow. But we want to give you every opportunity to mature and grow in your knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, as we were preaching through Timothy, 2 Timothy, we talked about preaching the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's words to Timothy. We're committed to preaching and teaching God's Word, just like Paul encouraged Timothy. We encourage you to be in the Word. It's a new year. It's a good time to launch a new plan for reading and meditating and studying God's Word. And so we want to give you every opportunity to be in the Word of God, to hear the Word of God. We want to equip the saints. This was something that came out often in our discussion. And Justin read part of this passage today. I want to read a couple verses again from it in Ephesians 4. "And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Excuse me. I used to think that my job as a pastor was to do the work of the church. Well, this says that my job is to equip you to do the work of the church. And so that's been a shift, and I think it's going to be a continual shift of, and we talked about this some last Sunday, about the idea that even caring for one another, that is all of our responsibility as a body of believers. It's not in the job description of the pastor to care for all the people. It's not possible. And so we look at our responsibility as to equip you to do the ministry, to do the work of the church. In fact, last Sunday, I asked you to fill out a little sheet of paper about who are those people that you're caring for in the congregation. And it was really interesting to look at. I'm going to give you those statistics next Sunday. I have them all in a nice spreadsheet, stuff I like to do. I love spreadsheets. And I learned a lot from those responses. I had 28 of them. If you want to fill one out, I think I left them at home, actually. Anyway, you can give me a list. You can write on a piece of paper and give it to me of people that you're caring for, and we can kind of increase those statistics if you'd like. But we'll talk about them next Sunday. The idea of the fact that each of us, thank you, appreciate that. Each of us has a part in ministry. All of us here. I don't know what you're called to do. God calls us to different things. He gives us different skills and abilities. But all of us is called to some part in the congregation, just as this passage has indicated to us. And so figuring out, what is my part? What is the piece that I bring that other people need? What is God calling me to? We want to give you opportunity to do that part that God has called you. And so our job as an elders team is to equip you for ministry. And next Sunday, you'll have an opportunity to sign up for different things, ways that you can help out in the congregation. The church needs you and what you bring and in order to be healthy and to function in a healthy way. So how you contribute is between you and the Lord. We're not going to lean on you or force you to do things, but we're going to give you opportunity to partner in the ministry of this church, to one another and to the world. Paul says in this scripture that all of us are working together. As we work together, we'll build up the body of Christ. That will bring unity. That will help us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus and bring us to maturity. This is a packed scripture here. So much comes out of equipping of believers for the work of ministry, and we are committed to this, giving you every opportunity to fulfill your calling, young and old, all ages. And so that's a second thing that we talked about as an elders team, what's on our heart for LCF. The last one that I want to talk about this morning, I'm going to talk about several next Sunday as well, but the last one this morning is rich worship. We hope LCF is a place of rich worship. We believe that when we encounter Jesus, when we encounter God, our only natural response is to worship. And we desire that all that we do be an act of worship for the glory of God. If it really isn't accomplishing that purpose, it probably isn't worth doing. I think probably when all of us think of worship, we might first think of singing. But that's only one small part of our worship. And if you look at our bulletin, you'll see that each part of the service is intended for worship. Our desire is that when we come together, that each part of the service draws us into the worship of our Lord and King. And while we hope to set a good environment to worship, we recognize that this isn't about simply our preferences or our styles, but it's about God. It's about worshiping God. In the area of music, we strive for musical excellence. But we want there to be an opportunity for many different people to help with music of various abilities. And so you see a variety of people coming through on the worship team, different teams that are working together. We don't have a particular formula for what we should sing, and so whatever the leaders want to sing is what is going to be sung. It's a variety of songs all over the place. from older songs to newer songs. We don't really have a formula for that. We just hope that our music points you to worshiping God. Our desire is that worship goes beyond music, as I said earlier. Our giving should be an act of worship. And we could probably do better at giving focus to that. Our reading of Scripture isn't just a filler time between the worship of singing and then the sermon, but it's a time to enter into the presence of the Lord, to hear from Him and to worship Him. Our study of God's Word is a time to worship God. We desire our prayer time to be an act of worship. And we recognize that there's much to be done here. It is easy to settle into a rut. It's easy to forget about what this is all about. It's easy to go through the motions. I was looking at some of our songs that we were singing this morning, the last Behold Our God, talking about the greatness of God and worshiping Him. It makes me think of Isaiah 29, speaking of ruts that we can get into. I think we aren't the only ones. It's been an issue for a long time. 13 and 14, the Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish." My prayer is that God would open our eyes, that we might understand who it is that we worship, and that we would truly be astounded by Him. All the places I read in Scripture where people encounter God, I think of Isaiah when he encountered God, seeing Him in the temple. It's an automatic response of worship, in awe of who God is. And so I pray that we would see Him each Sunday as we come together, that our eyes would be open to the greatness and awesomeness of God. And whether we're singing or whether we're in prayer or whether we're listening to His Word, that we are in awe of who God is, of His great love for us, and that our response would be one of worship. So our hope is that all the preparation that goes into each service would accomplish a truly rich experience of worship of God. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Talking about the kingdom that we have access to. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." And so when we sing songs like this, "Behold our God, who has held the oceans in His hand, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at His voice, all creation rises to rejoice." We don't want to just go through the motions of singing that. This is an awesome God that we're worshiping. And so we hope the preparation and time that's put into the service will help people to see God for who He is, and that we will truly worship Him. Well, these are the first three that I want to talk about. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about three more. I'm sure you know that these aren't the only things that we're about at LCF. We could talk, and we do, for weeks about the different things that we are calling ourselves to as followers of Jesus. But there's significant ones that have come up in our discussion as an elders team. And as you think about what we're about as a congregation, hopefully these will help you understand what we hope to be about here. And so I invite you, whether you've been here for many years or just a short time, to join us in this work that God has given us to do here. It's His work, and we're all humble before Him, recognizing we have a small part in this. We want to work together to accomplish His purposes here in our community. Of ourselves, we really have no significant abilities, no special wisdom. We are messed up sinners who have significant problems. But in Jesus, we're a new creation. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we have everything that we need for life and godliness. That once we were not a people, but now we are a people of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so I'm excited about 2020. I don't know what it holds for us. I don't know what God has in store, but I'm excited. He's at work. Jesus is changing lives as He has always been. Jesus is building the church, and nothing will prevail against it. Yes, there is going to be trouble. We aren't naive, but we take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. And so I want to finish our time this morning with part of the passage that Keith began our service with, Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. And as I'm reading this, I want to invite the worship team to come up, and we're going to sing one of the songs we sang during the worship time, sing together again. But let me read from Hebrews 12. Verses 2 and 3. Thus, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's sing together. And I want you to think about this song as we sing it. It, in a lot of ways, encapsulates what I talked about, each of the things I talked about this morning. It talks about Jesus being the center. And then it brings it down personal. The next verse, it says, Jesus, be the center of my life. And then the last verse says, for Jesus to be the center of our church. And that is our prayer this morning. So would you stand and sing with us this song together?